We recently laid to rest one of our retired priests, Monsignor Oliver Johnson. He was a Catholic priest for 57 years. And one of the things I have to do as minister to retired priests, after the priest dies, I have to locate all of his religious items from his home, like his vestments and sacred vessels, such as his chalice. We want to make sure these holy items do not get into the wrong hands. What is so fascinating is with each priest's chalice, they are all so different, but the same in one way. It is a tradition that a priest receives a chalice at ordination, perhaps as a gift from a family member. There's usually an engraving on the bottom of the chalice, perhaps maybe from his parents. The priest uses the chalice to celebrate his first Mass and those after. So it's so interesting with all of these retired priests who have died. Their chalice was always a reflection of their earthly journey and their vocation as priests. Like all the other deceased retired priests, Monsignor Oliver's chalice was plain and simple and not flashy. The outside was worn and discolored from the many masses he celebrated. The only decoration on it was a small cross embossed at the base of the chalice. But what is so interesting, as with all of the retired priests' chalices, they are worn and look old on the outside. But when you look on the inside, where it matters, where the wine becomes the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at the consecration, you always see a beautiful gold inlay, polished so brilliantly. Brothers and sisters, the readings this Sunday cause us to look at our own faith journey in our relationship with God, looking at it not from the exterior, not from the outward signs, but from the interior, that which comes from the heart. There's this funny story I told before. Sorry if I'm repeating myself. That's what you get hanging around a bunch of old retired priests. But it's about a young guy named John. He pulled up to this stoplight behind a woman who was fiddling with her phone. She wasn't paying any attention, and the light turned green. John started honking his horn and yelling all these bad words and got so mad he began smashing his fists on the dashboard. All of a sudden, a policeman came up and knocked on his window and told him to get out and put John in handcuffs. And John, he got more belligerent, angry with the policeman, saying, "I can say what I want to say. I can do whatever I want to do on my own." The policeman didn't say a word and just took him to jail. After he was booked and sitting in jail for a couple hours, the arresting officer released him. John, still furious, asked the cop, "Why did you arrest me?" The cop said, "You know, I saw that rosary hanging from your rearview mirror. I saw the Knights of Columbus bumper sticker on your back window. I saw the frame around your license plate, and it said you were pro-life. I just knew the car you were driving had to be stolen." Brothers and sisters, in our gospel, we have a similar story. The Pharisee, who was so meticulous about the external aspect of religion. Now, to understand the parable, we have to know when Jesus told the story, it went against many religious people's ideas, those who thought they knew what God wanted. They were very self-righteous of their understanding of religion. They had big egos. In the parable, Jesus says there are two people in the temple, the Pharisee who has fine-tuned his spiritual life. He was very successful. He had done everything he was supposed to do. He fasts, he tithes, he does everything with the image of how he despised others, is that his heart, his interior, hasn't been touched by the message of the gospel. What has been touched is his ego. This sense of perfection is what people imagine the goal of religion. We can get caught up in that today. You know, I'm in a parish. I'm registered. I've been baptized, confirmed. I received all the sacraments. I've gone through all the hoops. I got it all done. Just like the Pharisees, I did this. I did that. I. It's not about me. It's about others. It's about Jesus' two greatest commandments. Love God with your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. It is from within, from the interior. And don't get me wrong, yes, receiving the sacraments and being part of a parish family is very important. But it's not the whole story. It's what we do with those sacraments in parish life. And we must use them to carry on Christ's mission today. There's another man in the temple. He's a tax collector. He's beating his breast. He's thought to be a loser with religion. He's failed over and over. He just can't get his life together. And he's standing off in a distance, knowing that he has no rights where God is concerned. He simply says to God, "I wish you could help me." What is so wonderful about this man is that he has a sense of reality. We all need God's help. He knows that he's in need. He knows he can't be perfect with religious practices like the Pharisee. But he knows God can help him do the work. And that's what Jesus loves. A simple, humble, honest person who recognizes the fact that he or she cannot accomplish much of anything without God. Listen to St. Paul in his letter to Timothy. Paul recognizes that he's about to come to this end of this earthly life. He sounds like he's giving his last will and testament. He tells Timothy that he's worked very hard. He has been on his own, though he hoped people would be around him to help support him. He tells Timothy, "No one appeared on my behalf. Everyone deserted me." And here's the key. He tells Timothy, "The Lord stood by me. He gave me the strength." When we finally get to this place where we truly depend on God and not ourselves, that's when we find true peace. And that is where Paul is. He is simply at peace. Paul is living in the present moment, knowing that there is a God with him in that exact moment. He knows that because God is with him in that moment, everything's going to be okay. It's a wonderful place to be. And to get there, we have to understand humility and honesty. A humble person is an honest person because he or she recognizes their weakness. Brothers and sisters, we can't do it on our own. We have to realize who we are, setting aside our egos. And this is how the spiritual life works. Let us begin our new week with the words of our psalmist. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants.